Number 11, Patricia Mulroy. Never heard of her. Mm-hmm. Boss of the Southern Nevada Water Authority, though. So, of course, we don't. Well, these a lot of these people are Las Vegas because, hey, where are all our politicians? Mm-hmm.
That's the water authority that's trying mm-hmm. to run pipes up and take water out of the...
Exactly. Only woman on the list.
Other valleys.
She'll get more water from Clark County, even if it means turning several rural counties into Death Valley. It's rumored, I swear to God.
Oh, my goodness.
She's like, we're going to do it. Forget it. Yeah.
Well, they're fighting her pretty good. I think she's losing right now.
Yeah, she's number 11. So that is your 11.
And you're sure I'm not on there? You didn't skip one or something?
You're not on here, buddy.
Dang.
But check your YouTube.
You're number 12.
I'm number 12. Yeah, maybe I am 12.
So if you'd like some additional links and references from all the above, you can find it at NevadaLabor.com. Be well, raise hell. That's what Andrew Barbano says. He wrote that article on the 11 most powerful people for 2011. Interesting. Any more Nevada news?
The Muppets.
Okay, Muppets.
Muppets have
changing
a new
gears
movie.
Here.
That's big stuff.
And it's critical of Reno. Can you believe that?
The Muppets, are they on ice or no? They put everybody on ice here.
They just make a couple comments in their new movie that are
about Reno.
Kind of make fun of Reno.
What do they say?
Yeah.
Like what?
I'm trying to find the character here. That
it's the biggest little city in the world.
What's going on? You talking about Miss Piggy?
Fozzie
Bear. Disking us?
Early in the movie, Fozzie Bear is shown performing a song at a casino in Reno on the edge of town.
Okay, that's good.
And then when they rescue him and bring him back to L.A., he doesn't want to come back.
He wants to stay in Reno?
He wants to stay
in L.A.
He's saying, please don't make me go back to Reno.
Please don't make me go back to Reno. Well, we like Muppets here.
I mean, it's not that bad. They're just making fun of us.
And also, a sale of Burning Man lottery tickets. That's going to start on Monday. You got to get in a lottery to go to Burning Man.
My goodness.
It's expensive.
What's going
on
with that? Yeah, it's expensive.
It's like $300.
So how's the new system going to work?
You put your money in, and they put you in a hat, and if they draw your name, you get the ticket.
Wow.
Then you get your money back. If they don't, I guess you get your money back.
You better get your money back. Well, nobody's going to stand for that. So that starts on Monday, huh?
Yeah.
Mm. Where do they go to sign up?
I think you can do it online.
Just go to Burning
Man. Give
them
your credit card number, put your name in. And
yeah. You can do anything online with your credit card number.
It must be awfully popular if they have to resort to a lottery,
Burning
right?
Man.
Yeah, how many thousands? Where
are you kidding?
I have never been to it. Have you been to it?
30,000.
Never have.
But Jay has.
Yes. I don't know if it was the first or the second, third, right in there.
But they've had how many now?
Oh, please.
About 20.
This little brain. How
huge.
Many, Sean? How many Burning Man?
25.
Yeah, 25
And it's
years.
Gotten so huge.
Wow, I'm
now.
Old.
No.
I'm old. I'm
never.
Old.
No, you're not.
Well, I was very young when I went to the first one.
$420, that's the price.
Wow. Oh, that's not bad.
That's not bad?
Well, it's for how many days?
To go out there where there's no water
for
and
a week?
No, and you bring your own food? What do you? Okay.
Yeah, where does that
I'm
go
sure
money go?
I'm not trying to be critical.
You go to the Bahamas? No, it is very artsy. It is very wonderful. It's very fun. It's very wild if you want it to be. It's as wild as you want it to be. It's as subdued if you want. You want to go out there and you want to take a, and you just want to go in and go in early and sleep and then come out. You can do that.
So it's pretty much adult
Nobody's
based, right? There's not
you.
Kids there, are there?
There's not a lot of crime. Well,
there's going to be two lotteries. I see.
Not a lot of crime going on. Two lotteries. When's
the
when's
first
the one
is for the expensive tickets, $420. And then February 1st, there's going to be a second lottery for $240 tickets and $320 tickets. I don't know what the difference is. Do you?
We should have Michelle in here to tell
us.
Yes,
we need
she
Michelle.
Works every year out there.
$420 probably lets you walk around naked.
If you get four. No, you can walk around naked for the $200.
Okay, you have
to. For $400, you probably have access to the orgy tent. We're going to take a break. You got your common sense thing going on. What's it about this week?
It's a story about Thanksgiving turkeys.
Aww. Gobble,
gobble, gobble, gobble, gobble, gobble.
We'll be right back. You're with Broadview.
The Buzz.
Hi, I'm Tom Dolan. There's nothing like a smile on a child's face on Christmas morning when there are presents under the tree. Unfortunately, thousands of children in our area are at risk of going without.
This is Ryan Dolan from the Dolan Automotive Group. We are proud to be joining forces with the Reno Media Group to help collect toys for the U.S. Marine Corps' Toys for Tots and Salvation Army's Angel Tree program. Purchase a new unwrapped toy for a child in need and drop it off at either Lexus of Reno on Mill Street, Reno Toyota Scion on Kitsky Lane, or Tom Dolan's Reno Mazda Kia on South Virginia Street. The fine elves at Pod's Moving and Storage storage will keep them safe and deliver them to Santa at the North Pole for delivery. Last year, your generosity helped make the holiday brighter for over 7,000 children in our area, and we're expecting that need to grow this year. We're asking you to help us make a difference, so drop off a new unwrapped toy today for Toys for Tots and the Angel Tree program. Plus, make sure to join us for the Camp Christmas event at all of our Dolan Automotive dealerships Saturday, December 3rd from 8 a.m. till 6 p.m. There will be lots of Christmas cheer to go around as we help create smiles for children this holiday season in our area.
From the Dolan family to yours, happy holidays.
Are you looking for a career change, extra income, an opportunity to make great money on a full-time or part-time basis? If so, listen up. Can you help local business owners succeed with coupon advertising and help local consumers save serious money? Are you self-motivated? Do you want to work from home? If so, then we want you.
TenRenoCoupons.com.
Get paid well. We'll show you how. TenRenoCoupons.com.
The season's best event from Cadillac is going on right now at Reno Buick GMC Cadillac. Lease a 2012 CTS sports sedan for $339 a month for 36 months with zero due at signing. Or lease a 2012 SRX crossover luxury collection for $419 a month for 36 months with zero due at lease signing. For qualified customers, restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Reno Buick GMC Cadillac, 900 Kitsky Lane in Reno. Locally owned and operated, earning customers for life.
Welcome back to Broadview, a weekly program with updates and discussions of the issues and hot buttons of Northern Nevadans. Phone lines are open at 823-1920. And now here's your host, Jay Davis.
So we were just talking about Burning Man. It started in 1986, yes?
So
86?
So they've had 26 of them.
Yeah. This will be the 26th, right,
right,
Sean?
Right. Yes.
Yes. 86?
Yeah.
Oh, don't get me out. I'm not here to do
25
math.
25 plus 86.
Somebody figure it out. Now, in 2010, they had 51,000 people. 51,000. So last year, they capped it at 50,000. That's the most they want out there.
Is it for safety reasons, probably?
I'm sure for a lot of different reasons, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, how big is the desert out there? Let it roll.
I think it's a mathematical function when you get too many thousands of naked people in one spot.
Gets crazy.
It's like an ignition.
Everybody gets naked.
Not everybody?
Everybody gets naked. No.
But you said you were out there. Where do people go to, you know, relieve themselves? I mean, it's just common sense.
What kind of relief are you talking about?
No, but yeah. I mean,
why would that be important? There's no bushes. Well, it's motorhomes. You have motorhomes. They have bathrooms. They set
they
up bathrooms.
They do. They got the things
they
out there.
They have to. They have to.
I have to get rid of this Occupy Wall Street thing in my head because it's driving me nuts.
No, you cannot have 50,000 people and no porta potties.
Thank you.
That's not happening. Yeah, and everybody brings their little cans and stuff. I mean, there's a lot of different ways.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. A lot of different ways.
So you don't want to start drinking just stray cans you see laying around.
What date is it next year? Do we have any idea what date it is next year? 2011. August. Is it 2011? No, it's going to be 2012.
2012.
So where will it be? It'll be August, Burning Man.
August 27th through September 3rd.
There you go.
Every year, same time?
No, that's the 2012 one.
Right, the 2012 one. So you can get in the lottery come Monday.
And you get another chance in
Burner Social Network on Facebook. I mean, it is big.
Where's the money go?
It's big, everywhere, to everybody. It is not a nonprofit.
The BLM, probably.
Jay, you went in 1990, you say?
1990, I believe it was. 89.
Was fire, 89, all 80. These fire people, were they such a big deal? Because that seems to be huge now.
Well, they burn the man every year.
I know they burn the man, but now there's all these people that twirl the fire.
Oh, yeah, they were there. We had the fire twirlers, the fire eaters. I mean, it was a little more simple. It was more like a carnival back then when I went. Now it's like very sophisticated.
Yeah. Huh.
Very sophisticated. Very artsy, very wonderful. I need to go again. Yeah. Let's all go before we're, you know.
Yeah, let's go.
I am not getting naked, telling you that right now.
Are we asking him to get naked? Have we ever asked him?
No, that's what you got on your mind.
Oh, good.
It's not going to happen.
I can already tell what that would be all about.
You know you want to.
He does. So Burning Man, the lottery, coming up. Coming up Monday. Monday. Well, we don't have time to get into Black Friday because so much was going on, so we're going to save that for your common sense. Okay.
Okay.
Then we've got politics, and we also have Rebecca from
Total Wine. I'm sorry about that.
Thank you.
I was so excited to say that.
God. Rebecca from Total Wine. You ever been to Total Wine?
No.
Unbelievable. You been, Sean?
No.
Come on, I thought you were the wino of the group here.
I sound like JP, don't I? No.
I've been to Total Beer a number of
times. I've heard of it. Remember we talked about it last week where it was.
Yeah, right.
And I'd never been there yet, no.
There is so much. Oh, it's unbelievable. So anyway, she's going to come in and talk to us about that.
You have like part ownership in that store or something?
Who?
You.
I wish.
Yeah. No, well, you both do. Okay.
Yeah.
Both you and Amy. All right.
Another thing that happened before we get to your common sense, Maggie Daly, who was the wife of former Chicago mayor, died Thursday night after battling breast cancer.
Mm.
She was 68 years old. She died 6 p.m. at home, surrounded by her family, including her husband, former Mayor Richard Daly, her children, Nora Patrick and Elizabeth. Daly's former spokeswoman was there also. Her husband was first, of course, elected mayor in 1989. Speaking of 89. To complete the term of the late Harold Washington, he was again reelected in 91, 95, 99, 2003, and 2007. And then, of course, Rahm Emanuel is now in there. They started a very successful after-school art program in 1991, doing good stuff in Chicago. Maggie will be missed.
I don't know if we have time.
We have time.
Okay, how much time do we have?
Get on it. We got JP with his words of common sense.
It's a story about a turkey today, all right? Because it was Thanksgiving. I don't know why we enjoy stories about turkeys who prevail against Thanksgiving odds, but we do. That's why the president pardons a turkey every year. It's good politics because Americans love an underdog, and there's no bigger underdog than a turkey in November. Folklore says the presidential turkey pardon started with Harry Truman, but it's not true. The National Turkey Federation started giving turkeys to the White House in 1947 when Truman was president, but he simply ate them. He was from Missouri, and Midwesterners don't have romantic notions about poultry. President Kennedy spared a turkey in 1963, but he didn't issue an official pardon, so somebody else probably cooked the poor thing later. The official pardon started with George Bush the First in 1989. Figures, doesn't it? Just like with civil rights, Republicans do the good deeds and Democrats get the good press. In Pittsburgh, they had a lot of fun this year with a story about a wild turkey that kamikazed through a restaurant window Thanksgiving morning. Speculation was that the bird's suicide flight was to protest the annual holiday slaughter of his domestic cousins. Imagine a wild turkey named Howard Beak getting out of bed Thursday morning, rising up on his tree limb, and gobble-gobbling at full volume, "I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore," then dive-bombing the nearest restaurant. Truth is, though, wild turkeys are not graceful flyers, and it's possible he simply misjudged his abilities and couldn't pull up. I've got a local turkey story which happened this week right here in the Reno area. Dan is the security guard I pass every morning when I enter my office building, and Tuesday morning word got around about Dan's extraordinary Thanksgiving turkey. Seems his daughter paid somebody to raise her a turkey for Thanksgiving, and apparently the guy makes his birds drink protein shakes, lift weights, and gobble Twinkies. When the turkey was delivered Tuesday morning, it weighed 46 pounds. 46 pounds. Think about that. I thought turkeys topped out at 30 pounds, and I've never actually seen one that big. The 46 pounds was after losing its head, neck, feet, feathers, and innards, so God only knows how much the doggone thing weighed when it was alive. I wouldn't want to meet a turkey that big in a dark alley. Gobblezilla is the nickname we gave it around the building. Dan was afraid it wouldn't fit in his oven and he would need to cut it in half, so I suggested taking it to a lumber yard where they have 6-foot saw blades. But he said he had a gas-powered chainsaw that would probably handle it. On Wednesday, we learned that it did barely fit in his oven whole, but now he was concerned about the cooking time. At 20 minutes per pound, he was looking at 15 or 16 hours of cooking minimum, and it might take longer than that for heat to penetrate Gobblezilla's carcass. I tried to be helpful by scribbling some quick calculations on a piece of paper and announcing that if he started cooking it now, it might be ready for next Thanksgiving. He didn't seem to appreciate my help. I've run into that before. Wednesday evening, about 8:30, Dan put his giant turkey in the oven, aiming to have it cooked by 1 o'clock the next afternoon. He got out of bed at 2:30 in the morning to check on thing, and that's when the full Machiavellian revenge of Gobblezilla started. His kitchen was full of smoke because, well, a turkey that big has a lot of juice, and it was overflowing the roasting pan. Barely able to see through the smoke, he managed to turn off the oven, get the turkey out, and open all the windows. Then he said to himself, "Well, I can't turn the oven back on until that stuff is cleaned off the bottom. Hey, why don't I use the self-cleaning feature?" Turns out the self-cleaning feature is not designed to handle a mound of turkey drippings on the floor of the oven. Within a few minutes, Dan had a raging fire in his oven, and the self-cleaning feature wouldn't cancel, and the oven door was locked. And there was too much smoke to get around behind the range and unplug it. So Dan called 911 and went to work trying to save his house. After bending the crap out of the oven door trying to get in and pounding dents in the stovetop trying to break his way in, he finally opened the broiler door at the bottom and started spraying his fire extinguisher up into the oven. By the time the fire department got there, the fire was out, but there was fire extinguisher residue covering everything, even inside closed cupboards. The poor guy spent the next 4 hours, from 3 a.m. till 7, taking every single dish and glass and spice container out of his cupboards and washing them. Gobblezilla may have died, but he got his revenge. There is a happy ending. At 7 o'clock Thanksgiving morning, Dan's wife said, "Dan, the fire truck is back." The Cold Spring station of the Reno Fire Department came back to make sure everything was okay and to offer to cook Dan's giant turkey for him at the station house. And best of all, Dan's wife had the perfect excuse to go shopping for a new range on Black Friday. That's just common sense.
Well, he cooked his goose. That was a nice story.
Gobblezilla 1, Dan 0.
All right, we're coming back with more politics and news around our country coming up next hour. We're on KBZZ, Sparks Reno. Your news is next, and we'll be back with Broadview.
CBS News. I'm Sam Litzinger. Another big setback for already sour relations between the United States and Pakistan. Pakistani officials blame NATO aircraft for attacking two military posts near the Afghan border, killing 24 Pakistani troops. In retaliation, Pakistan's government has shut down a key supply route for American-led forces into Afghanistan and is demanding the U.S. vacate a base used to service American drones. CBS News consultant Jerry Van Dyke.
This is a very significant move by Pakistan. It has to show its people that it can stand up to the United States, that it can respond to the United States for what NATO says is probably an attack by NATO forces on Pakistan, killing 24 Pakistani soldiers.
Analysts say much of the violence in Afghanistan is carried out by insurgents based just across the border in Pakistan, and coalition air forces have been going after them. Dozens of Egyptian protest groups have announced what they call a national salvation government to speed the transition to civilian rule. CBS News correspondent Elizabeth Palmer says it's not clear what effect this will have on protesters.
A hardcore of activists argue that voting is implicitly endorsing the military government. They say we don't want to be part of the process until the military has handed off to a civilian authority.
To the great relief of his family, Gregory Porter, one of three American students arrested during protests in Cairo, has just arrived back in the States. The other two are coming. If you're tired of shopping in a big box, CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula tells us this is your day.
Elizabeth Warner plans to be one of the estimated 90 million Americans who will shop locally during the second annual Small Business Saturday.
You may spend a lot of time in the mall going to places you don't need and end up spending more in the long run anyway. And you may be able to find exactly what you want very quickly.
Small business owners say they can better offer one-on-one service and are more involved in their communities than national retail chains. Jim Krasula, CBS News, Raleigh, North Carolina.
CBS News correspondent Peter King tells us about a machine that's begun a very long trip.
Its name is Curiosity, and it's headed to the Red Planet.
We have spacecraft separation.
The Mars rover and science lab pulling away from the rocket that sent it toward Mars this morning. That applause from mission scientists watching here at the Cape. It's a 9-month trip and a difficult landing at the other end, but if all goes well, Curiosity will drill into the Martian soil and into Mars rocks, looking for any signs that the planet could have supported life. Its robot arm will bring those samples on board for analysis by that Mars Science Lab.